Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further, because you've reached the Power Cosmic Podcast. Each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrific Con and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, will talk about the stuff you love. Now sit back and talk about comics, TV, movies, toys, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and good morning to you. Welcome to another episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast. I'm your host, the world's greatest convention promoter, organizer, and you know, all-around great guy. Trying not to be so round anymore, Mitch Halleck. And joining me every week, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him, the man who could find anything for you and sell it to you for four times what it's really worth, the one, the only, John Cimino. Hello, John.
What's up, Mitchie?
John, I'm in panic mode right now because last week while I was out promoting CT Gamer Con, that's the con I do at the Mohegan Sun in a couple weeks, that's dedicated to all things video game, tabletop, collectible cards. It's just like a Comic Con without the comics. I was out promoting, John, and I happened to walk into a Walmart, and even though the street date was supposed to be March 3rd, this particular Walmart had put out all the Infinity War merchandise, the action figures, the lower priced action figures, the Marvel Legends figures where you could build a, I think you build a Thanos in this one, and the Infinity Gauntlet. And I thought of you, John, because there was nobody there. I know these were going to be hot items, and they were right in front of me. It was like a kid ripping open all his Christmas presents in July. I couldn't help myself, so I went crazy, John, and I bought a bunch of merchandise.
Now, I know. I saw you. You and your cronies. All your cronies are chubby. Everybody gets that Infinity Gauntlet. Infinity Gauntlet toy. This is what I say to about all that. You ready?
Come on! I'm gonna go run and put it on right now. Hold on.
Well, it's not just that.
Hold on. Talk to people. I'm going to get my Infinity Gauntlet. Hold on.
Let's just say I am not a fan of Thanos. I do not like Thanos. I think he's a lame character. And the reason why I say this is he's a knockoff of Darkseid. And we all know that. And the only reason why everybody likes Thanos better than Darkseid is because he was written better. Marvel did better with Thanos than DC did with Darkseid.
Okay, whatever. You ready? Here it goes. You hear that? I'm moving the fingers around in it. I'm flipping you off right now.
Does he say any quotes?
Hold on. What?
Does he say anything?
No, this is the Infinity Gauntlet.
No, I know, but does it make any, like, sometimes they, you know how some things, like the Hulk fist will say, smash!
No, this one is, you put it on, you can put your fingers inside, there's like little loops for each one of your fingers, so it's fully articulated. The back of it has, of course, all six of the Infinity Stones, and they all light up, and then it makes some noises when you move your hands around, like metal, and it makes that wong sound, so it must be like the power cosmic inside of it, you know? So, it's something else, John. My wife just looked at me and said, how much did you pay for that? And I always listen to what I actually paid for it, you know?
How much did you pay? You paid $85, right?
Doesn't yes. Mean? But it's cool, John. You don't think
like
so?
Like I said, I'm not a Thanos fan, and I hate the. I'm not big into the whole. I'm not big. I don't like Thanos.
You know what? I got to admit to you. I was thinking about the Infinity Gauntlet storyline. I think it was just done as a lark, like a little miniseries. And the movies, when they came out, they said, you know, we got to like string these things together. So we need some kind of hook, a MacGuffin, as Alfred Hitchcock used to say, like a treasure that they have to chase after. So they came up with the Infinity Gauntlet, but you know, it is what it is. I don't think of that particular storyline when I think of Marvel Comics. Do you?
No, but let's go back to Thanos a little bit. What do you think of Thanos? Are you a fan of Thanos?
You know what? I actually got to admit, I like Jim Starlin's other series that he made called Dreadstar, which was part of Epic Illustrated, and then it spun off on its own series for a long time. And there was a Thanos-like character in there who basically, he was the head of this intergalactic church thing, and it was all based on religion, and Dreadstar was like this rebel. And the guy looked just like Thanos, except he had no nose, if I recall. But, I thought Thanos was a one-hit wonder. I thought they got rid of him in that Marvel 2-in-1 annual when they turned him to a statue, and that was the end of it, you know?
Yeah, and so we know the making of Thanos was Starlin basically created him in high school. I don't know if you know that.
Mm-mm.
So when he presented it to Roy, people don't know this, but Stan Lee did not want Jim Starlin. He thought Jim Starlin was a hack.
Really?
Yes. And he didn't hire him. But Roy Thomas, this is the genius of Roy Thomas, went behind Stan's back and hired Jim. I don't know if you know this, but yeah, Jim Starlin owes his whole career to Roy Thomas. And he's another Roy Thomas fanboy and should be. But yeah, Roy hired Starlin around behind Stan's back, and then they came up with the whole thing, the whole shebang, and the whole cosmic stuff came out of that.
Well, he's also accredited with Mike Friedrich. Friedrich, I mean.
Oh, Gary Friedrich, right?
No, it says Mike for some reason. I knew who Gary Friedrich was. That was the ghostwriter guy. But when you look on Wikipedia, this might be a mistake. I don't know. It says Thanos was created by writer Mike Friedrich. And writer-artist Jim Starlin, he first appeared in Iron Man issue 55, cover date February 1973.
It could have something to do with it, but people don't know. Roy also has a little something to do with Thanos.
Oh, of course he does. Now tell us, John, what is this connection?
Yeah, when Starlin presented Thanos, you've got to remember, Roy was the editor-in-chief at that time, and he looked at it and he said, his exact quote was, "You gotta beef him up," because I guess he was like a lot longer and lankier, Thanos was. He said, "You gotta beef him up, you gotta give him like a better scowl and stuff," and he said, "And you gotta make him a little more like Darkseid." That's exactly what he said. Starlin went home, did his thing, and when he came back, more beefed up, and he had the wrinkles in the chin and all that other good stuff. Roy gave him the thumbs up, and he was on his way.
There you go. You are exactly right. And I'm curious for a second here. I'm going to look who this Mike Friedrich is. Friedrich.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
He is...
Was he writing Iron Man or something?
No, according to this, he was born 1949. He's an American writer, known for his work at Marvel and DC. Notable anthology series was Star Reach. Notable works, he was a writer for the Justice League of America and Iron Man. Blah, blah, blah. He's unrelated to Gary Friedrich. He entered years later, blah, blah, blah. He used to do $10 a page payment for DC Comics to write stories. He worked on The Spectre. He did a book called Star Reach. He worked on Batman. He's actually done a lot of stuff. Kazar, Marvel Feature, Sergeant Fury. He's 68 years old. And
he's still around?
Yeah, he's still with us. Yeah, he worked on Iron Man, and he was succeeded after he left Iron Man. Len Wein took over, and then Steve Gerber. Yeah, I'm sorry. I probably read this guy's work. In fact, I'm looking at a cover of The Spectre, and I've read that book, and I did not know who he was. I actually thought he was Gary Friedrich. I thought they were the same guy, but I guess we're wrong. Anyway.
Did he write that issue?
Yeah, because what you say is true. I'm on Wikipedia, and it says it was in college doing U.S. military service that Jim Starlin had a psychology class. He came up with Thanos and Drax the Destroyer. He didn't know how it would all fit in, blah, blah, blah. Roy Thomas said all the same things you did. Go home, beef it up. Then he stole it from Kirby, and he turned him into the, put him in the chair, just like Metron was. And then it tells the whole history of Thanos. And I gotta know, they did a Thanos origin. He was the Mad Titan. Remember his father? What was his High Father? They lived on Titan, one of the moons of Jupiter.
Remember? Yeah, he was.
Yeah, and Star Fox was his brother.
I liked Star Fox because he had the whole
sex appeal.
What was it? The whole persuasion thing going on, you know?
Yeah. But in March 2012, a new book came out called Thanos, Son of Titan. It was canceled. He was a miniseries by Jason Aaron and Simone Bianchi. Where in April they added more to it, and he was a mad scientist, yada yada yada, and then he shows up anyway, and then the Cosmic Cube and the Infinity Gems. That's here. The Infinity Saga started there. This is because he's trying to court and prove his love to the goddess of death, or just death. Da da da. Anyway, it goes on and on. He has become the biggest thing going for Marvel right now, bigger than Doctor Doom, I would say.
Yeah, and see, that's unfortunate too. But I got to admit, Marvel did great with him, like in the stories and all that stuff. Like, there, I hate all of that, but they did good. Where Darkseid, I think the problem with Darkseid was that they had him like getting his. So there was a good time there in the mid-2000s. He was getting his butt kicked by everybody.
Yeah.
Like, and I think even in the 90s, you remember even Doomsday survives the Omega Beams and then he beats up Darkseid. I was like, they kind of like jobbed him. That's how they say it. Like, they kind of just jobbed him out there and had other characters beat him to prove themselves. And it hurt Darkseid. And it bothered me because Thanos, who Starling was always writing and keeping him, you know, he likes to protect his baby, so he was keeping him the number one guy for a while. So it's like, people started forgetting about Darkseid and they started loving Thanos, and that always bothered me because Kirby's Darkseid is a great character. They're trying to get him back like that, but they're just not doing it well. Whereas in the movies, you know, they're trying to, now Darkseid looks like a knockoff of Thanos, and I don't think that should be, because let's be honest, Mitch, you never in your wildest dream thought Thanos was going to be this big, right?
No, never in a million years, no.
Well, you know, like, we're getting, like, Thanos gloves, we're getting Thanos statues, figures, everything. I mean, like, it's crazy. You don't see that with Darkseid. And the perception is going to be, if you see a Darkseid figure now, like, to the mass media people are going to be like, oh, that's just Thanos wannabe. They dropped the ball on him.
No, but anyway, he's been in video games. I remember in the my kid, Owen, used to watch that Marvel Super Squad, and they had they were calling them the Fractals, but it was basically the Infinity Gauntlet. They had to find
that
all these gems.
That was good.
Yeah, yeah. And Thanos was in there, too. He was actually in a Spidey Super Stories, which is actually one of the more expensive ones to get of that old series.
Well, it's pretty funny when Thanos gets arrested and the cops are putting him in the backseat of the police car.
It's crazy. In fact, you know what? We could give a little tiny hint right now, as we always do. Last week, I announced some guests for a Terrificon, and I tell people if they listen to the podcast, they will get a sneak peek into the show. We will have Mr. Jim Starlin at this year's Terrificon in August 17th to the 19th at the Mohegan Sun Expo Center in Connecticut. So there you go. I'm dropping that right now.
Yeah, that's going to be great. And hopefully some people can, you know, get Ray Thomas and Starling together on a panel and talk.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I haven't put that up on the website yet. I wasn't going to put it up until April because they actually moved the release date to the Infinity War from May during Free Comic Book Day weekend. They moved it up to April 27th. So there you go. You know why they did that? They're going to release it around the world simultaneously because lately they've been adding movies overseas and then we get it. And I think they were afraid of a big spoiler alert. So I don't think they want certain people seeing the movie before, because you're going to go on the internet and ruin it for everybody, which makes me think a lot more Avengers die than we thought.
Let's be honest, Mitch. I mean, Marvel has literally taken over the world. I don't think it, especially in the movies and to the mass media. I mean, to the comic people, yeah, you still got your DC Comics, Warner Brothers. They're doing what they're doing, but it's just not even close.
Oh, I know. Today, after we're done with this, I'm going to run out and buy my DVD copy of Thor Ragnarok, even though I've already watched it a couple times, because you got to have that completest thing going. But the Justice League's coming out, I think, next week. I don't even care. It comes out next Tuesday. I'm like, yeah, I'll buy it. Maybe somebody can get me that for a Father's Day gift or something, you know?
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. Yeah, I'm going to get it. You know, I'm going to still do that. But, like, it's just so unfortunate. It's like, you know what it reminds me of? And it's kind of like how the past dictates the future. If you think back to 1961 when Stan Lee and Kirby released Fantastic Four, and then they started the whole Marvel Universe, and did a resurgence in comics, they blew away DC at the time, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But DC, for like 20 years, 30 years prior to that, they were the biggest thing on the block. Then you look like in the 80s, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, DC had all the movies and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Marvel gets their act together, and then now it's just like 1961 again with the release of Iron Man, and now it's just blowing away in the movies exactly what the comics did back in 61, and I find that very interesting.
Well,
It's not even close, Mitch. It's not even close.
Well, I just want to go touch really quickly on some of the toy stuff, because this is unparalleled, because Star Wars The Last Jedi came out this December, and I don't want to go into that again. I'm still angry about it. Yeah. So listen, though. The toys for that are sitting on the racks. They're gathering dust. No one's buying them. There was a report that they lost a lot of money with the toy sales because the kids don't care. These Marvel toys, they don't stay on the shelves for a second. There's big 50-year-old goofs like me that are buying those Infinity Gauntlets when they're going out of style. But the other thing is, the disc's so goddamn cool. I mean, there was a Marvel. I bought this. I'm not ashamed to admit. They had a Marvel Legends Ghost Rider, the classic Ghost Rider from the 70s, and he came on a motorcycle with the flames. I'm like, oh, my God. I didn't even think about it. It was $39. I bought that in a second, came home, opened it up, put him on the motorcycle. He's downstairs with all the other action figures and statues and all that stuff. But when did you ever think you'd ever go to a store and buy a Ghost Rider action figure, a real cool one, you know?
Well, okay, I'm just going to say, back in the late 70s, there was and I think it's AHI, I can't remember, it's one of those rack toys, but I don't know if you know this, but they made a Ghost Rider motorcycle and figure. It was something that it was a rack toy. It was something that you found like all the other cheap toys were. And they made a Johnny Blaze figure, and it had two different heads. And I think there were two different variants because they were just cheap toys. But I don't know if you know this, but it was like, you can look it up. I think it came out in 78 or 79. And it's actually very valuable because it was a disposable toy. But that was one of the only claim to fame Ghost Rider had, and now, yeah, you're seeing Ghost Rider everywhere with all that stuff. He Ghost Rider, Johnny Blaze. That you know, let me know something. I even like those movies. Call me crazy, but I like the first one.
Oh, I thought it was okay. I never had a problem. The second one, I remember my son hated it. Oh, he was so mad about it. But
I just think, yeah, Nicolas Cage is what I did it. He was a little
too. No, but they had some cool effects in there, though. But all right, so that brings up a question here, because I'm looking at all the stuff. It is like crazy. They got a Ronan the Accuser figure out. There's an Infinity Gauntlet coming out from who's the manufacturer right here? I'm looking at it. It's $930. Okay.
Oh my God. This one better actually kill people.
I don't have that one, though. It's made of polystone. It weighs, how much does it weigh? It's 29 inches tall. Blah, blah, blah. It's a lot.
I mean, you can't wear it, though? You can't put it on?
I guess it's for display purposes, but it's crazy. So that brings up today's topic. What's the difference in your mind, because the toys have changed so much from the Mego days when we were a kid in the 3 3/4. What is the difference between an action figure, a collectible, a statue, a toy? Which really holds its value? or are we not even going to bother? First, let's just get this out of the way. Is it valuable at all in this mass-produced plastic world we live in? Is anything really valuable anymore?
Are you talking about, like, today's stuff?
Yeah, if I went out today and bought a Thanos action figure, because Walmart has an exclusive Thanos action figure, which I also picked up. Why am I buying that? I can't say I'm going to get my kids in college because they're actually going to college and I'm not
part with it. You're not going to get your kids in college. And why are you buying that? I'm asking that question too. But the truth is, none of this stuff within the last, since the 90s on, now you'll find a toy here and there that can hold a little bit of value. But it's even like the comic books. It's not going to hold lasting value, because, and I'm going to tell you why. Because somebody somewhere is going to have it, and it's always going to be available. Like, you might have to pay a little bit for it. Well, let's just say a limited friggin' Thanos friggin' head, whatever it may be. Now, the thing is, people that want that will order it right away. Now, you're talking about 10 years from now, are they going to be looking back at those heads, and they're going to be thinking, is that going to be worth more? No, it's not, because I'll tell you why. Because everybody keeps that stuff in tip-top form, in good shape. Nobody opens it up. It's like a variant cover. The value is only as lasting. People don't have that type of nostalgia anymore. Kids want it right away, and then they get it, and then they throw it in the toy box. It just doesn't have that type of lasting value. Now, will there be maybe a toy here and there that may get some resurgence and stuff? Of course, because they're making more toys now than ever. But the values won't hold. You're not going to get like a Captain Action Spider-Man. The last one that sold on eBay went for almost $25,000. There will not be a toy that comes out of that from the 90s to whatever today that will ever sell for that. Unless it's like some custom-made, huge, lifelike, blah, 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 boo, and there's only one in existence.
Well,
but it just... No, it just doesn't happen like that anymore, man.
I was going to say that this morning we watched, before my kid goes to school, he always watches some TV, and he watched Pawn Stars. He's been loving that show for years now. And a woman brought in the 1966 Batman utility belt, mint in box. You know, it came with like
From Ideal.
Huh?
From Ideal.
Yes.
Orange belt, correct?
Yeah. It had the little gun, and had the belt. It had, I don't know what else, a dart gun or something like that. But what do you think she got for that? What did the guy appraise it at, and what did she sell it for?
Okay, there's a few things here. I didn't see the episode.
It was never opened.
Okay, it was never opened, but did it have? Now, I ask you this. Let's see how good that guy was on Pawn Stars. They made two actual boxes, because they actually had, like, you know how it has that, what do you call that, cellophane film?
Yeah,
oval?
Yeah, cellophane.
Did it have that, or was it missing that?
Oval? What are you talking about? On the toy?
Yeah, on the box, because some...
I just watched this...
Some came with the cellophane, and some came with the cellophane.
No, it had the cellophane on it.
Okay, that you can remember.
No, I did. I saw it, because I was looking at that, too, going, how come it's not open? But no, it had that clear plastic.
Okay, well, that one's actually worth more. And I think that they offered her anywhere... My estimation, and if it was never opened in the box and all that, I could say that can go for about 25 grand.
No, at all. She wanted 16,000. No, yeah, she wanted 16 or 17,000. No, that's it. She wanted 17. The toy collector came in and appraised it at 16, and because they're a retail outlet, he couldn't give her that, so he gave it $11,000, and she took it.
That's a little, but you never know. I mean, those things are so rare. And then they have even Jordan Hembro, your buddy there, Jordan
from the Toy Hunter.
I think there's only three in existence. You could buy a mask that you could dress up and that went along with that.
Yeah, and it had the Batman logo in yellow on the forehead.
Yes, but what they did also make was a deluxe version of that it came with the utility belt and the mask. And that were, I think Jordan sold that for $27,000.
Wow.
The reason why those are so valuable is because Ideal didn't didn't do, you know, it looks great, but they didn't think it through. Some have the cellophane and some didn't. So what do you think kids did? They just plopped their hand in there and ripped
out.
So they had to recall a lot of that stuff. It didn't last more than a year. And that's why those are so valuable, because there's not many of them out there. They didn't last.
Well, the thing of it is, like I said, going back to the action figure stuff, it's so cool. The fact that you can get, there's a Deadpool wave out there right now, because the upcoming Deadpool movie, you can get Cable and, you know, Domino and Deadpool and all that stuff. But they have the Build-A-Figures, which were, if you don't know what that is, there's a little piece of an action figure in each one of the set. So you'll have like six or seven figures, and they come with like an arm, a leg, a head, a torso.
Yeah, and you buy the whole everything.
You have to buy them all to complete it. Exactly. They've got a Sasquatch figure based on, what was his name, Walter Langowski?
Langowski.
Yeah, he was from Alpha Flight years ago. One of my favorites, John Byrne. But it just looks cool, man. But I remember years ago, you and I, when we first met and you started calling me the Wendigo, there was a Marvel Legends figure out there called Sasquatch. But they made a white version, and they just put a new tag on it and called it the Wendigo. Did they not?
Yes, but I think that, did that have something to do with Songbird? Not Songbird, who's the other girl on Alpha Flight that could, she could transform into Amy?
Oh, Aurora? Yeah, the white one?
No, not the twins. Aurora was the twins.
That was North Star and Aurora.
Yeah.
And then there was
the
witch with the, she turned into a snow owl, right?
Yeah, she could do. Yeah, but she could turn into like a lot of like those creatures.
Yeah, there was Shaman. Now you got them. There was Puck, Shaman, the Vindicator, who became the Guardian.
Yeah.
Jesus, Aurora, North Star. I gotta look it up.
Yeah, go look her up. But I thought that she became, or she kind of transformed into that white Wendigo. White Sasquatch.
Well, it wasn't the Wendigo of the original. One that was in the Hulk.
She changed into the white Sasquatch.
Yeah, I'm looking at the team right now. Oh, I'm sorry. Here we go. Aurora, Guardian. Marina was the fish.
Marina's the one. Yeah, she was the fish one.
North Star, Puck, Sasquatch, Shaman, Snowbird.
Yeah,
and then there was Talisman and Vindicator.
And Marina went on to marry Submariner.
Yes, she did. And then she died.
Those are John Byrne characters, correct?
Everything in there is a John Byrne character, yeah. No, I mean, that. I don't. You know, I was actually tempted to buy the omnibus of that, even though I have all the Alpha Flight. The problem with the artwork in the 80s stuff, when you see the reprints, it doesn't look that great. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just very dark, very heavy. I've been buying a couple omnibuses, and I've noticed that the 80s stuff doesn't reprint that well. I don't know what that's about, but it's just kind of heavy. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But anyway, going back to action figures and value. Now, what about these Funko Pops that are everywhere?
Yeah, it's okay. Once again, it has some figures have a lasting effect, but talk to me in another 5 years. Are anybody going to be caring? Once the fad goes out of style, then that's when things collapse. It's like the Beanie Babies. Now, Pops have more longevity than Beanie Babies. You have to remember, I was selling those Beanie Babies in Treasure Chest Comics before when the hysteria was just beginning. It was like the Beatles were coming out. And we got, for some reason, the creep that I worked for, that he got into those, and he had them before anybody else did. And we were selling six Princess Bears for, I think we were selling them for like $2,000 a pop. It was ridiculous. And we were selling literally six of them a week, and people were going to kill each other for it. Now try to look up that bear and something, you probably pay $100 for it. And how many people are even going to pay that? So the pops are kind of like that, but they'll have more longevity because they have licenses for so many other figures. But eventually people will go away, and then some new fad will come, and then all those people that paid that big money for those things, they're going to be sitting with a huge collection. Now, always will be a collector out there that will still want it, but they'll either have it, but that community will become so small that There's no lasting value on that. I tell people this. If you're going to get it right away, but don't get those big prices that they're paying for it, because they're just going to start shooting up, and then eventually when the fad's over, I tell them, why don't you wait? Wait till the fad goes and then buy it, because it's like a variant cover. People are so dumb, and it drives me crazy. They're paying so much money for these variant covers, and after a month, they're worth nothing!
Oh, come on now. They're worth something to the person who bought it. You know which movie? I was thinking about Batman today when I saw that episode of the Pawn Stars. And I started thinking about what movie is out there right now that people might not think it's going to be worth such a big deal because it's under the radar. I'm thinking, honestly, and it's not much merchandise, I really think the Black Panther might be that sleeper hit that people might not be buying a lot of the merchandise, and maybe in 20 years they'll say, oh, that was a cultural significance. That was a huge movie. What do you think about that?
Wrong. You're thinking with this lasting value. I mean, I don't know why you think. They're so mass-produced, all this stuff. There's always going to be a mint-in-the-box one, and there's going to be a ton of them out there. I don't care if it was limited to 500. I'll bet you all those five, because everybody's privy to that. Mitch, get off that mentality, because you even got three-year-olds looking, saying, don't open it up because it's going to be worth something. Their parents are telling them that. It's just... Now, when you say lasting value, how much more stuff is going to be out there in 20 years? So you think the Black Panther from this movie is going to have, and somebody, okay, so that figure that costs $50 now, you're saying it's going to be $500 in 20
years? I don't know. Well, here's one for you. I love the sideshow statues and stuff that came out. I'm looking at one right now. There's a Wolverine. It's limited to 2,500. It's $570. It's a lot of money. But I got to tell you, it's called the premium format Wolverine, and he's coming at you with the yellow and blue outfit, and he's got the claws out, and you can swap the heads so he's wearing the mask or without the mask. This thing is just gorgeous. I mean, it is so finely sculpted. But what do you do with it, though? Honestly, how many of these can you have, you know?
Do you know who started that trend of, like, these beautiful figures that looked awesome? You know who was the first person to do that?
Randy Bowen?
No, way before Bowen. Bowen does statues. I'm talking about toys and
McFarlane.
Yes, McFarlane. Remember when those spawns hit the frickin' rack? It was like nothing anybody saw before. You couldn't play with them, but they were like statue pieces. Think of that, Mitch. How nuts did people go for those spawn figures in the 90s?
Oh, it was crazy. Now there's Rubbermaid bins full of them that nobody wants.
Right. I sold the entire collection because I had to take it. I'm not kidding. From the Vindicator to the vehicles and everything, I dropped it for $50. Everything, because I just didn't want that crap. And I'm going to, but like I said, how crazy were people going for those figures, because it was so radically different than everything wanted to become like those figures. And then, that's what I'm saying. Look at the toys today, Mitch. Yeah, they're more sophisticated.
Yeah, but okay, so then why are all the old Mego figures worth so much?
Because, you want to know why? Because we ripped them open and we played them, and there's not many of that out there. Remember, supply and demand. There's not those type of collectors today that are going to be looking for that Black Panther figure that came out, and they're going to be dishing out $1,000 for it. Because, first off, by then, there's going to be so many more figures, and look at it. You see how these are so mass-produced. You see those big figures and all that? They all look the same. Because it's so mass produced. You got to remember, a Mego figure that they're going to pay $40,000 for a carded Green Goblin for, because I think there's only five of them out there. But how many Green Goblin figures were being made back then? How many of those were? You could only get those superhero toys in that line. You couldn't get them. Like, they're everywhere now. Everybody has a life. Like, Disney is mass producing. How many Thanos figures are out there, Mitch? How many now?
Oh, there's got to be. Well, you could do the Build-A-Figure. You could buy the Walmart exclusive. There was a Thanos figure that came out a couple years ago. There's about four versions.
Yeah, there's so many. It's a different world now. Those Mego figures were the only ones of its kind. Those Captain Action figures were the only ones.
So what are you saying that? You don't think there's any kid? They don't make the Marvel 3 3/4 figures anymore. They've kind of quietly put that line out of business. They're all the new, the big figures and stuff. So what are you saying now, that don't buy any of this stuff?
No. I say buy it and have fun with it. But don't look at it for lasting value. It's even with the comic books. The good stuff will always be good. We're talking the Golden Age stuff. Like those key issues, those first, yes, they're always going to have value. They're always going to go up. But this is what, it's a different breed. You got to remember, we come up now from the collectors. It's all of us and there's a couple kids, and it's a couple generations below us. But the new kids that are getting into this, you think that the millennials of the new generation are getting these figures, are putting away, No, they don't have that collector mentality with us. The people who are paying a lot for these figures are getting them right away. Now, what I'm saying is, in 20 years, you think that people are going to be paying those? I think they're losing money because they're not going to be paying for that much money for those figures down the line. Kids are too quick today. They're on to different things. That's why everything is so mass produced. You get a Thanos at this figure. He's like in every size, every shape. You get an Infinity Gauntlet. You get one for $85. You got a $900 one. It's just crazy.
I'll tell you one thing, though, and I think you're going to be shocked about this. You know which toy actually goes up in value? They said it's almost better than a stock market. You know what it is?
Which one is it?
Lego sets.
I'm sorry, say the Lego stuff?
Lego stuff, because now, when we were kids, Lego just had blocks. There wasn't any of this like specialty stuff. But when they started doing Star Wars, then they bought other licenses. They bought Harry Potter. They got the Marvel license, DC. Right now, just the other day, I sent you a photograph. I was at Walmart when I was looking at all this other Thanos stuff. They had Roy Thomas's old apartment, the Sanctum Sanctorum from Doctor Strange, is now a Lego set. You could buy it. And what I've heard about Lego sets is, they retire them after a couple years. Like, they'll buy them, they'll put them out in the stores, and then that's it. They put them away. So if you don't buy it, that's the thing about Lego. You know they open them up because they build the things.
The first thing, too, is Legos are expensive as hell.
Well, yeah, to find a mint in box like Millennium Falcon from a couple years ago from Star Wars, I've seen that thing on eBay for like $1,000 or so. But what's the thing, though? You're going to buy it and not open it? Isn't the whole point about Legos to build it?
Yeah, right. And Legos is a little different from the action figures and stuff. I will, because you're right. They're smart. They retire them. I have for sale at my shop. I knew it was going to be worth money. I don't know if you know this, but when the Avengers came out back in 2010, I bought a few of them, the first sets of when they made the Hulk figure. Remember, because there was one set that you could get from that Avengers set.
We had that one.
Yeah, it was the first time that they made the big figure. So I knew that this was going to have a lasting value. And so I bought a few of them, and I sell them for like $100, $150 a pop. I have one left, but I knew those were going to be big because of that. But once again, Lego has a long history, too. Lego's been around since the 70s. No, right? The 70s.
Oh, my God. They go back to the 60s. I mean, it's a Scandinavian company. But
correct. But yeah, they're smart with that, and they're expensive to begin with. And once again, supply and demand. And I do think Legos is a lasting type of
It has value.
Yeah, I do. Now, will it be crazy value? Like in 20 years, will a Millennium Falcon or a Death Star, it's selling for $1,000 now, will it be worth $20,000 then? I doubt that. I don't think they're going to go that high, but I do think there'll always be a lasting value because the community is so big.
Well, but the problem is Legos, I got to avoid it. I'm looking at some of the toys as we speak. The problem is the movie hasn't come out till next month. I mean, it comes out April 27th. But if you look at some of the sets that are out right now, there's scenes from the movie. They base the little set, so you got to be careful. I'm just looking. I go, oh, there's a Captain America Black Widow set, and they're fighting over something. I go, oh, better not look at that, because there's part of the movie right there.
Yeah, that is a problem. It's funny, because when I saw the... I remember they made a few Doctor Strange sets, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, this is going to happen in the movie, and it did. Like... Yeah, but hey.
Well, you know what's funny? Some of that, the problem is they make those sets way in advance because, you know, they have to go to China and make all the pieces and stuff and ship them over. But sometimes they cut the scenes out of the movie and they don't appear.
Yeah, because they have to make them in full events. But you have to remember, the best time and the most time to pump up that comic book or to get those figures is always the anticipation stage of the movie. Because when everybody's anticipating it, they all want it. And that's why they release it earlier, because they know everybody's, you know, they're just throwing all the advertisements. It gets it all in the little kids' brains, and they're telling their mommies and daddies, and then they're Mitchies, and they're going out, and they got to get that stuff. So if they have to give up a couple of scenes or whatever, they're going to do that, because, once again, right now, what's on fire right now? It's the Thanos.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at the Sanctum Sanctorum Showdown, it's called. I can tell you that Iron Spider's in it, Doctor Strange is in it, and they're fighting some creature called the Ebony Maw, and there's a fight with a pizza. I don't know if this is going to be in the final movie, but there's enough going on in this little set.
You know what? Another comic is really hot right now? First appearance of Venom. Why? Because the movie.
Oh, really? That went up?
Yeah. And that's a hot book.
Wait,
what I've been selling like crazy? I'm going to throw this one at you. I sold four of them within the last month. I'm sold out. And I couldn't move this within the last few years. A Fantastic Four 48, first appearance of Galactus and Silver Surfer. That's crazy now, because once Marvel bought the rights back from...
Oh, yeah, they announced the Silver Surfer movie the other day.
Right. And once again, it's always that anticipation. So right now, this is what I tell people. If you want this stuff right now, you're going to be paying that either the retail or the premium that people are selling it on eBay. I say wait till the movie's over and all that stuff. Let it go for a little while and then get it.
If you're looking to make a quick buck and you want to flip this stuff, here's some... I'm asking you now. They have the Wasp and Ant-Man movie coming out. The villain in there is going to be somebody called Ghost, who appeared in the comics. If I want to make money, am I too late to go out and buy that first appearance of Ghost and then just sell it when the movie comes out?
Yeah, Ghost will be big, but it'll get some action on it, but it's not going to get crazy. But if you want to probably make $50 to $100 on that book, I would say buy that book now. But see, the thing is, a lot of comic retailers are privy to that. You know, they know that that's coming, so that's one that they're going to boost up anyways. And I do the same thing. When these characters start coming, I'm like, I've already thrown, and I did the same thing for Silver Surfer. I boosted those up $100 more than the guide. Guide, Overstreet Guide is not even relevant. Sure, you can get a little bit on some of that stuff, but the market changes so fast, and all these movies are coming in so fast that the prices just jump. They just go. It's hard. But I would say yes, get it now. But it's go. You know that book. It used to be a 25 cent.
Oh, that's the most ironic thing. A lot of these books that we talk about now, who are all in the dollar bin or 50 cent bins. Well, not too
tell me this, Mitchie. How long did you see that Hulk 271? That stupid one with
Rocket Raccoon.
I saw that all my years of being in comic books. That used to be in the 50 cent bin for years and years and years, and now it's a $200 book.
Let's not talk about Uncle Mitchie had three copies of it. And when I was sorting my books years ago with my kids, I remember we were downstairs putting things in bags and boxes. I took the other two copies of it, gave one to my kid, threw the other one in the trash because I go, hate this cover by Al Milgram, one of the worst Hulk depictions ever. And I always kick myself about that. I go, oh my God, how much is it worth?
Yeah, but like, that's what I'm saying. It's so funny to see these books coming out of the trash. Like, let's look at that first appearance of Carol Danvers. Who the hell cared about what
Marvel Superheroes number 4, right?
No, 13, 12 or 13, one of those. But I'm just saying, those were in the tummy for years. I remember being at a church and they were stacked up with like all these just. And I remember seeing like, look at now that book's up. friggin' $500 book. I mean, they can go in for more. I mean, it's just, it's insane.
Now this is something you don't sell at the Random Flea Market, and I don't really get them because they're too expensive. I got a couple. I got the Stan Lee one and such. But what about these hot toys? Do you ever see these? I think they're from Japan. They sell for hundreds of dollars. They're basically, let's just call it, they're dolls. They're action figures, okay? But they're really articulated, sculpted, but they're really expensive. They're selling for $200 or $300 a pop. And the value goes up on those because I don't think they make a lot of them. Have you ever had any of that? I know they made the Batmobiles.
We had a bunch of the dragon figures that, remember when they made the army men? Like, I had a bunch of General Patton ones and stuff. Like, those still sell for a lot. You know, they have every bullet. They're like a couple hundred bucks per figure. And then, because they're limited, yeah, they're a little bit more. But, like I said, those things are beautiful and stuff. Like, will they be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars? No, but they'll always be valuable because they are so nice and they're limited. Remember, they make those limited because only a certain amount of people, certain collector will buy that. And selling them is kind of tough because, remember, those things that come out, Mitch, like you, once they come out, you're already buying that. You're buying that when they come out. So all the people that really want that toy and that are willing to spend the $300 for that toy, they got it. And it's like, well, how many other people are? It's like a statue. That's why statues are so hard to sell on the resale market, because everybody that wanted that statue already has it. It's like Kiss merchandise today. The new merchandise that Gene Simmons puts out there from the 90s to today doesn't have great resale value because all the people that were willing to pay the big money buy it right away.
So what about really big toys? Are they hard to move? Because I know they made a Batwing. DC put it out. It was like $100. The thing was massive. It was 37 inches long by 25 inches. It was the one from the animated TV series. I mean, if I was a kid and I had that toy, oh my God, I would be like, this is the greatest toy ever. But who's buying that now? Who's buying that?
That's right. I'm not saying they don't look awesome, and like the sculptures and all that stuff doesn't look great. But the Matches Malone fanatics that were out there, they bought that Batwing when they could get it. Now there's an occasional person that will come out of the woodwork and they'll want that. I'll bet you $50 that when they do find it on eBay, they're making a deal for it. Okay, they want $800 for it. Come on, I'll give you $600 for it. It's been on eBay for the last 2 years, and they'll take it for that. So, you know, how much profit are they really making? You have to remember, like, there's so much stuff that go on. A lot of that new stuff, yes, it is valuable. It looks awesome, but will it be so valuable in 20, 30 years? I beg to differ.
All right, well, there you go. I'm just looking at some of the stuff there. The fact that an Adam Warlock figure's out on the shelves is amazing to me. The most obscure figures imaginable are out there now, you know?
Remember, I love this stuff, and I tell people all the time, I'm not saying don't buy it, and buy it, play with it, enjoy it, or whatever you want. But if you're looking for these for investment, you're going to get burned like all those Death of Superman people who bought all those Superman comics in the 90s, and they thought that they were going to put their kids through college because the resale value was going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars. It just won't happen. There's warehouses. I mean, it just will not happen. When Doomsday was at its hottest, that comic book, Superman, Man of Steel, whatever, 75, it was going for like $75, or it was almost $100. And then after the movie, it kind of brought that down. Now I can't even sell that for $50. So, I mean, like, how much value you think you're really going to get out of those things?
What's the female figures were always the hot ones because no one used to buy them. What's the hottest female figure out there to buy? Is it Wonder Woman toys, Batgirl, or Harley Quinn?
I would say today the hottest girl is definitely Harley Quinn. Batgirl's there too, and Wonder Woman's there, but Harley Quinn, without a doubt, does not have, I don't think it's, I don't, to younger kids and all the new millennials and all that, without a doubt, Deadpool and Harley Quinn are the you know, the characters of choice. But I ask you this, Mitchie. We know millennials and all that stuff. They come and go. How many of those guys in 20 years are still even going to still be into Harley Quinn or Deadpool in 20 years? They're not like us. You know, they don't come from...
I have no idea. I hope we're here in 20 years, the way things are going.
No, right, because you got to remember, when we got the toys when we were young, even when you were young, it was such a big deal because there was nothing else like it. You never saw it.
My 19-year-old son said that the other day. He says, no, kids don't play with toys anymore. And it was so sad, but it was kind of true, because unless they're like 5 or 6 years old, maybe... They're all, once that hits, they're all in the video games now. That's it. Done. You know?
Right. It's a different world. But like I said, they're so mass-produced. There's a Harley Quinn in every genre, from clothes, toys, video games, products, whatever, cleaning products. When we were a kid and we saw a figure, oh my God, there's a Captain America figure on the rack. There was nothing. It was so radically different. It was a different time. Now everything is so mass-produced.
Right. Well, we went over again, Mr. Half Hour. It's already 50 minutes. I'm going to go put on my Infinity Gauntlet and walk around the streets to see if people laugh at me. So,
yeah, how do you keep the clothes on, Mitchie?
That's the sounds it's making right there.
So, Mitch, let me ask you. You heard my rant. Really quickly, what do you think? What, do you think I'm right or am I wrong?
I think you should just buy what you like and don't worry about value. Just don't make sure you're living in a cardboard box because you have too much stuff. Here at Chateau Halic, we have a lot of stuff. I mean, I actually have to get garbage bags now and then to start throwing stuff away because it gets a little too much. As much as I love my comics and my toys, their part of me goes, I don't want to be on one of those TV shows where they find me buried underneath a pile of stuff. I don't want to be Rob Bruce. We've been to his office. I've never seen such a fire trap in my life.
Mitch, your problem is you're
impulsive.
You have like a split personality. You still got the young Mitchie and you got the old Mitchie. And the old Mitchie comes out sometimes late. So when you see these toys, the young Mitchie comes out and like, I got to buy this, I got to buy that. And then when you're home after a couple of days, after laying on your belly reading a few comics, you start looking at the stuff and you're like, what? Then the old Mitchie comes out and it's like, why the hell did I buy this?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
You are always in dual combat with yourself because I understand. I know why you love these. You're such a fan. Me, I can appreciate these things from a distance now. I don't need everything. I have bought everything I ever wanted. Like when I see them on the shelf and stuff, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. I don't even care. I'm even kind of filled up with superhero movies. I'm like, yeah, I'll see it. But it's not the same. It's so saturated
now. All right.
And once again, I'm not saying that they're not making them well, yep, and the figures don't look cool, but it doesn't have the same thing in me anymore. And I love this stuff like you, Mitch. We live for this industry, but buying this stuff and getting that stuff, I'm the same way with you. It's like, if I were to get something, I already know now I'm going to get it, and I'll be like, what the hell do I have?
I don't know. And speaking of that, I got to go because I'm getting the willies because I got to get to that Best Buy and get my Steelbook copy of Thor Ragnarok, even though I'll probably not even open it because I've already watched it. Anyway, I got to calm down. I bought all my action figures for the Infinity War. I'm all excited. I'm not buying trading cards anymore. I used to buy that stuff too. I love this stuff. Oh, craziness. It's like a drug.
Yeah, but now, like I said, you'll buy that stuff and you'll do it, and then you'll sit there.
You have the regret. You have buyer's remorse.
You're like, why? It doesn't even call me. I don't know why I bought this stupid. That, like, once again, that you called me up and you told me about the Infinity Gauntlet. You're like, should I buy it? And I said no. Remember? And I knew you were gonna buy it anyway.
I had to because Scott Martin had one too.
Yeah, and then your other chubby friend named Gigliotti.
Chris Gugliotti has one. Peter Melnick has one. I have one. One of the artists, Brett Booth, has one. We all have one. We're all taking pictures of it. You're just jealous. You just want one.
Okay. And that's that.
And that's that. Oh, no. I dropped my Infinity Gauntlet.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.